Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Okay, party people inside the place to be. We're not going to go through the whole tune, but that was suggested by our lovely, amazing, enigmatic guest, the inimitable Lady
The Legend
is in the house. Salute.
Thank you so much for coming. I cannot believe we've got you on the pod. It is brilliant for us to speak to you. We love you.
Thank you so much. I love being loved.
Yeah, man, we got to meet you a couple of weeks ago when you're the opening of your art show here in London. You're back in New York now. You said upstate New York, yeah? At the moment in your studio, as we can see. Who was the people who organized your show? Decease? What was they called again?
Stassi Gallery with Eddie and Mike.
Eddie and Mike
at the Stassi Gallery. The Stassi.
That's it. Because they've done a few things as well, I know, with a few different artists. I recognize the name. Are they French originally or English from London?
I believe that they're English.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's your first solo show in London. You've done shows before, but that's your first solo one, though.
First solo show in London.
Incredible.
And it was crazy. It looked to me like a roadblock sellout event with like a block party outside. Police doing drive-bys, everyone partying outside, drinking, having a good time. And all of the pieces, pretty much everything I saw, was sold or under offer by the time I got there.
I think they've sold them the major part of the work. Some of the pieces, like the real complex diptych of the Subway Village, stuff like that takes me a couple of months to paint. So it is priced according, that doesn't sell that quickly. So, you know, let's see if these guys have got some really rich friends.
these ones,
you see,
right?
These? Like,
that
I
one,
was
those. They take a couple of months to do. Yeah.
Because the detail, La Reina, the detail that's in there is incredible. Like, ridiculous. Yeah. When you exactly, yeah, zoom in like that, man.
These photos don't do, like, it justice. They don't do it justice. But yeah, the
this details. Is a photo of the actual piece.
I know as well, because I've heard you speak about it. Even like the tags in the background and stuff. I know you know, these are all actual people that you remember. Yeah, from back in the day and stuff. It's quite important, those details to you, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I put up my friends. I put up people who are currently in my favor. I put up my dead friends as never to forget them. So I tagged them up.
Yeah.
And that's as most as I can do. You know, I've been tagging up my boy Kane One, who was murdered back in 82.
Mm-hmm.
I've been putting him up all this time, which is like, you know, 43 years or something.
43 years. Yeah, I was born
longer than he did. He died at 23, and I put him up forever. Never forget this king. Wow.
Kane One.
Yeah, King of the Seven.
With a K. With a K?
With a C. With a C. Kane One.
Mm-hmm. Kane One. King of the Sevens, yeah?
Yeah. He had a bit of a sketchy history after he left painting the subway trains. He took up with real gangs. He took up with a witch cult, and then they had him murdered.
So that was the
first friend that I lost. You know, he had witnessed the human sacrifice when he was with the witch cult. And he decided, okay, that was enough of that. And he decided to leave. And he was talking out to the media about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
They put him to sleep because of that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And then those witch cult people, they came to some of my gallery openings afterwards.
Oh, my days.
Trying to get me to work with them. I'm like, oh, my God. I had them thrown out. No, yeah. It was insane.
I mean, New York was a wild place, man. Back in the 70s, 80s, it must have been wild, especially as well. And don't worry, we're not like hung up on just because you're a female or whatever. But to be a woman in a predominantly male dominated thing like graffiti or hip hop in general, was it a struggle, or did you find yourself being able, because you seem like a chameleon, you could fit in anywhere?
Yes, you know, doors open for pretty girls, you know, girls with brains are easily manipulate those that are not as sharp and whatnot. And most graffiti writers are like so full of machismo and stuff like that. It was easy to take control of that. So, you know, a pretty girl can make a guy do all kinds of crazy death-defying feats and things that they don't even know that they can do. And, you know, I'd learned how to play them early on. You know, I can be an innocent little girl, and I need their manly help for stuff. I make them feel strong and brave and all of those things. Oh my God. It wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
It wasn't
the queen of manipulation. Yeah. I love that.
So I started with the teenage boys in my high school, of course. Mm-hmm, and then I quickly moved down to the older guys who were in their 20s. People like, you know, Lee and Dondi, Futura and Zephyr, Crash Days. These guys had their own apartments. They had cars. They had money. You know, I left my teenage boys behind, like right quick. Moved down to these older cats who had some power and, you know, they were going places and stuff. But it was also challenging for me because I had to exhibit with them, you know, and I had to keep up with that. But luckily I had some talent and skills kids learn quick. Kids get fast. Quick. I've seen it happen before my eyes. I work with kids all the time. So I think that's what I did at 16. I stepped up to the plate and kept up with these older guys as they were going above ground. But, you know, at the same time, I was still trying to go and have fun with my teenage friends underground, trying to balance both worlds as a in high school, you know, and all of that. It was challenging as a teenager. Yeah.
Were you already painting trains and stuff before you started rolling with like Futura and Lee and stuff like that? You were doing a few bits already,
I was just starting to paint trains when those guys invited me to go above ground and paint in galleries.
Yeah,
I had just started.
And who, did you go on your own to the first kind of yard missions? Or
No. It was all you had to. You know, be down with the crew, and you had to go there by invitation. You couldn't just be wandering into anybody's neighborhood. Plus, even going anywhere in the middle of the night, and you know, on a New York subway train, and being a teenage girl all alone, even to go meet my friends, in some weird neighborhood to go to an even scarier neighborhood. All of that was very, very, very challenging. I had to roll with my crew, TC5, and, you know, and other small groups. And then, you know, honestly, like my reputation was taking a toll. Guys were going on and on about me. So that, like, I wasn't painting my own trains and I was just, you know, having sex with the boys to get my name up. Therefore, I had to paint with guys like in all kinds of different parts of New York. White guys in Queens, the Spanish guys down in Brooklyn, the black dudes up in the Bronx, and they can all see me painting my own train with their damn eyes.
So they would know. They would know.
You
know,
I wasn't on my knees for anybody, and I had to repeatedly do that so that the folks could see I'm doing my own trains and I'm not just like the village bike that everyone's passing around, you know, God.
Yeah, you weren't a groupie.
Well, whereabouts were you in New York when you were that age? Which borough were you in?
I lived in Queens, in Astoria, Queens, which is mostly like private houses with little gardens, trees, and mild-mannered people. And it's, you know, it's not as gnarly and sick like the Bronx or in some other parts of the city. So I didn't have trains in my own area to paint. Mm-hmm. I had to go to other people's neighborhoods. And again, I was down with a crew that had access to the Bronx, some of the train yards in the Bronx and upper Manhattan, and you have to go where you're welcome, you know, and people that know how to get into where you're going, to do it safely, when to go, and all of that stuff.
Do you remember an instant, like, to kind of describe that? Like, did you see something really gnarly go down or something? Like, I know people used to go into the yards with bats and stuff just in case they bumped into people. Did you actually see something, like, kick off?
So I think my very first adventure... Okay. It took me months nagging scene, TC5, that's black scene. There was two scenes, white scene, black scene. Okay. So I was in school with black scene. We were the same exact age. So he was boys with case two, one-arm case. You guys know
King of Style, King of Style, yeah.
So you know case. And he was much respected with his one arm, one leg, that style. He was the man, you know. So Scene said, okay, meet us inside the ghost yard. And they wrote this into a little graphic novel and everything with me climbing over the fence within view of the tower. I made it inside that yard and waited for my boys. I see them coming and they walk towards the fence and they just peel it back like a doorway. I didn't even see that. There I'm busy climbing a fucking 10-foot fence and shit with my bag of paint, but I made it inside.
Yeah.
So then we're in that yard and then I guess I was still, you know, pretty much a toy. So the case did my outline for me. I filled it all in and everything. And then I think case outlined it for me because of that mechanical style. There was no way I was going to even begin to understand that. And case's style is madness.
Incredible.
So anyway, while we're in that yard, a whole group comes towards us with chains and sticks and they look all surly and they're about to rob us.
Oh shit.
And then they realize that's case. And Case is telling them, get out of this yard. You're making noise. You're going to attract attention. How dare you come in here while I'm painting? Get out, get out. And they were like, yes, Case. Yes, Case.
He ain't getting robbed.
Case. They lower their heads and they tuck their tails between their legs and they walked out quietly. Didn't see them again and left us to do our thing, man. Case commanded.
And you were like, see you, bitches.
That's deep.
Actually, I saw myself being robbed. I'm like, okay, my bag of paint is going with those guys. But no, it was Case. It was that amazing. I could see it in action before my eyes. This is how it works, you know. I mean, so I was glad I was down with the right people.
I was going to say, if Case weren't there, that could have got very, very ugly, man, for sure. And I was going to say, like, you know, people, you know, because that kind of mentorship thing in graffiti, I know it was a huge thing back then. You had to find someone who had to school you because there was no internet, nothing like that. And like, you know, they would throw up your first few outlines, you'd fill in and that's how you would learn the ropes. Whereas there's been a drastic change now, obviously, with the internet and everything, for good and for bad, you know what I mean, on both sides, I think. But I wonder your thoughts on now the way people enter into graffiti now. There isn't that whole mentorship. People learn things by watching YouTube videos and then they, go out and try and do burners before they start learning about their hand styles. You know, that's another big thing we talk about is your hand style is what we call the foundation of style. If you can't get your hand style rocking
looking nice. Forget about trying to do a full burner. You know what I mean? I was just wondering your 2 cents on that kind of change in time.
There needs to be growth. There needs to be change. And some of us old timers have got to accept this change in things. Now, we saw it first happening when the first books came out and they went abroad and they made it to Europe in the 80s. The first book, Subway Arts Breakout.
The ones we got. The ones we got.
Yeah, that's what you guys got. And so all the European cats had these books, but they didn't have anyone teaching them how to do these letters correctly. So what European guys did, they completely destroyed what we had on those books. They try to copy, they try to emulate, they try to teach themselves, and it was a complete disaster at first.
At first,
we were like, right. "Oh, horror! Oh, you hurt my eyes! Oh,
what have
God.
We done? What have we done? Yeah, what have they done?
Which you know, just brings to light is like, how well are we understanding those Egyptian hieroglyphics and what was going down? I'm not so sure.
We ain't.
Sure. So, but very quickly, European guys understood. They came right over, and I think they were schooled. They picked up on it, little practice, and now they are so much better than we ever were. But at first, it's because of the books. They didn't have the masters. They fucked up. They did horrible things. The same thing once fonts became available on the internet and everyone could grab a graffiti font and use it in advertising. You can tell when it was a non-graffiti writer putting these things together.
100%.
And the messes that they made with our letters and fonts. And yes, that is a graffiti font, but ooh, look what you did to it. Oh, God, no.
Take it back. And I'd love to hear you on this as well, like kind of, because the essence of graffiti is like breaking the rules and, you know, like being uncaged by like, you know, strict rules and stuff and authorities. And that's what we're trying to break out from. But what a lot of people, they go too far left. And I'm like, you've gone too far now. That's not graph anymore. You know, like you can't, like there are certain unwritten rules and written rules to this shit, you know, to a certain degree that you have to build your foundation upon. You have to be recognized that you at least understand and know these rules to then break those rules and move on. Some people, they just go in and they just go, yeah, it's just graph. What? Writing my name? What? Who gives a shit? And it's like, no, man, that's not graph, you know?
No. Style is so specific, the nuances. You know, when I started, you could tell when someone was from Queens or from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Manhattan, Upper Manhattan, Lower Manhattan, where you were. So, you know, I said I was originally from Queens, but my style, my first tags were from the Bronx. I pretended I was from the Bronx because it was so much cooler than Queens. And all my boys were from the Bronx.
Yeah.
So my style was originally from the Bronx. It took me a while before I became proud of my own borough. And now my tag says Queens and 1980s and that I'm a female. All of that is in my letters.
It's all in there, yeah.
And was it pink from day one? Were you writing pink back then?
No. When I first started, I was, you know, writing my first boyfriend's name from middle school. Oh, when he was arrested, sent to go live in Puerto Rico. I took
up you did a portrait?
Yeah, I did a portrait of him that is in the gallery.
Yeah.
That's him. I was 14 there. I'm kissing his face, you know. At 15, he was taken from me and was sent to Puerto Rico. Anyway, so I was tagging his name was Coke. And so my first group of friends decided that, you know, if I'm going to be the only female in a group, in a crew, in the whole city, I should have a girl name. So my boy Sean just came into school one day with my name already drawn out with style. And he said, this will be your name now, Pink. It's no guy will take it.
Of course,
everyone will know you're a female. And I was like, okay, I'm fine with it. I like it. Sure.
Did he bring you an outline or he brought you a tag?
Yeah, he did the whole outline.
Oh, really? Yeah, so you could check it out. You'd be like, oh, let's get it.
Did you feel limited that because your word is a color, did you feel limited that you had to use pink in your pieces all the time or you weren't?
No. I mean, the selection of pink spray paint at the time was limited. Hot pink if you can get it.
Oh, okay.
One pink.
Yeah.
Baby pink was so rare and hot raspberry, which was a deeper magenta, was already extinct. You couldn't even find it. I used to use that name, hot raspberry, in a hardware store and send the bloke down to the basement to go looking for this hot raspberry while I was bagging all the other paint.
Wrecking the paint?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was a fake color that they didn't even make anymore since the 60s. There was only one thing. Now, yeah. There is that famous photo of me standing next to my rack of spray paint.
And
my stepdad built me those shelves. They know, although they knew I wasn't paying for all that paint. And you can see other pinks in there. And those are secret colors and off brands and weird brands. I can't even remember their names and such. But I tried my best to collect those colors in pink. But no, I wasn't limited to that. Okay, I used whatever, you know, I liked. And my favorite color was actually purple. I tried to use purples, but they didn't make a lot of those either.
No, they were hard.
So were you living that lifestyle where at one stage, obviously not all the time, but where you were going out racking during the day, painting trains during the night, street bombing on the way there, on the way, like living the graph life?
There constantly. Wasn't very much street bombing.
Mm. Right,
bombing was not a thing.
Oh, really? No. So it was racked in paint and going to paint the yards, going to paint the trains.
We were single-mindedly subway trains.
Yeah. You know,
we didn't tag up on people's buildings or streets or anything, that you ran a bigger risk of getting bagged.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
single-mindedly painting trains.
You know, people spotting you and phoning the police. You didn't need street bombing. That became a thing once they cleaned up all the subway trains in 89. So the early 90s, everything went above ground, and then street bombing became more of a thing.
And like basketball courts and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and then people started getting our permission walls. So when I met my husband in 93, he was like, yeah, let's go get permission walls. I was like, what now? He was like, well, you know, with our nice portfolio and literally a book, you know, with big photos, portfolio, with that, you present it to landlords and they give us their buildings.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
So we easily had, you know, a couple dozen buildings around Brooklyn and Queens. Nice production walls. We'd invite our friends. After a couple of years, we'd rotate the work. If somebody breezed through town and they needed a permission spot, you know. So I didn't paint that 5 points nearly as much. If you guys heard of 5 points.
Yeah.
Building, that big five-story building, a block square. And
Shout out Meres down at the five
Meres points. That ran it, the director. So, and that was a beautiful legal spot for everyone around the world to come and paint there. I always had a wall there, but I didn't paint there incessantly because I had my own walls around town, Brooklyn and Queens. And my husband and I had to and take care of those. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the papers and it's only by invitation. And when an artist was painting there, we had to babysit so that the police wouldn't take them away unless we can just give them papers. But, you know, it was tricky. You always had to have papers on you.
Yeah. Did you have issues with, like, let's say you do one of those, those walls that you had allocated around the city and then, like, younger toys going over it or something and you have to kind of police? Nah, none of those. Yeah.
No. That is the kind of respect that masters usually get.
I mean,
and when I invite friends, it's people like Zephyr and Case. And you know, other masters and such like that. So it usually gets respect, you know. Mm. Like recently I painted an underpass. So it was two walls for a bridge underpass. Yeah. And I had 12 artists painting there. But only a couple of them were artists. And our theme was everyone was doing cats, you know.
Right.
So we had some cool cats going up. Everything was very – but there was a couple of brush artists who did – you know, work that was like, so-so and whatever. They lost that in a week.
Oh, right, yeah. But yeah.
You know, I mean, just that. So I had to send my husband to do a great big spray paint, Felix the Cat, a big black one, you know. So you know, that's fine. So now, just toys sometimes don't respect artists that they don't know, they don't recognize. They see this is all done with brush. Fuck that.
Yeah. That's what happens over here as well, like with stencils and stuff like that. And what you were saying over here as well, I remember in London back in the day, you could tell if someone was from East London, North London, West London, just from the hand start, just from the start. But we often talk about that though nowadays, you know, everyone sees everyone all the time. So it's like it's all blended in together. But those kind of things of like back in the old school days were amazing. If you were living in Queens and you had to go to other places to go to the yards, did you have like a particular favorite yard?
Yeah, did you have a favorite
place to go to, like a Harlem or, you know, whatever, Brooklyn? I mean, you're only 21, so you remember it because it was like 4 or 5 years ago. So it's pretty easy.
So I like the Ghost Yard. I would even go there in the daytime. It was called the Ghost Yard. That's the 207 yard on the A line. And it was called the Ghost Yard because at some point I heard screaming or whatever. I don't know why it was called the Ghost Yard, but it was a little spooky. That was nice. But I think I liked the D yard as well. And at the D yard, they parked all kinds of trains, not just, you know, one kind of train. Okay. They had number trains, letter trains. And when you painted in the D yard, they could go anywhere in the city. You never knew where your work was going to go. So that was interesting. Let me see. Favorite places to go.
Because we got
always,
some,
you know, tunnels. Tunnels were always, you know, private and
tunnels,
quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the layups were always real nice, you know.
But you see, like, those layups and those tunnels, when you see people in New York going in there now,
so
you
I
can
don't
see the
know
old
where
school
this
town.
Is.
Look at this.
Oh, hold on.
I don't know who took a photo of that, and I'm not sure where that is.
Okay.
Really?
I really don't. So this isn't Times Square. That's the band shelf for the movie Wild
that's
Style.
That's the Wild
the famous
Style.
Amphitheater, right? The famous amphitheater with the double
trouble. It was abandoned in this. This was abandoned when we used it as a backdrop. They fixed it up later and now it's in use.
Yeah.
And now it's all been renovated.
Oh, yeah?
It's all very pretty. Cool. And they do shows now. So it's all been brought back.
I mean, this one, I mean, here, like you said earlier, you know, those books that came over, like Spray Can Art and a couple other ones, like this is one of those iconic. Was it Martha Cooper or Henry?
Martha Cooper, yes. I snuck Martha Cooper into the 3 yard with a couple of writers, Scheme and Agent. There's other photos with them there.
Yeah.
Scheme and Agent that I didn't trust so very well, but they knew how to get into the 3 yard. I'd never been there before. And this is a train yard that is underneath a high rise apartment building.
Nice.
So, you know,
atmospheric.
This is a yard when you were in there.
Not while
the trains were running. Ah, okay.
No. So that's why she got a whole bunch of different photos of me spray painting a train, sitting here looking innocent.
Yeah.
This is my I didn't do it look.
Yeah, exactly.
But Pete, do you have any idea?
A halo above you on this photo. Anyway, yeah, sorry.
When this photo came over to places like London, you know, like big capitals where there was actually a graffiti culture. Can you imagine what this must have done for all the women in the house who were thinking, oh, you know, I kind of like this, or my brothers are into it, or the guys at school are into it. And then suddenly there's this woman sitting there next to a fresh pink reach. I've always loved the K with the kind of kick on it at the end as well.
Yeah,
it must have done wonders for all the girls in the world thinking, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
If she's thinking she's doing it, okay, well, cool, we're gonna go, and that's like a massive thing.
Do you get messages? Do you get messages every day from women around the world just saying you inspired me?
Yes. You know, even way back when the first social media appeared, you guys remember MySpace?
Yeah.
I had a huge collection of young women from all over the world, and I would love to, you know, read fan mail every day, and they tell me, "Oh, you inspire me," and look what I painted, and boof. It's a giant building or something tremendous and beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, very, very touched by it.
Mm.
The coolest thing about Graf for me, we had Scheme on and he was saying the same thing. But back then, graffiti, like you were saying, oh, my God, it's gone over to England or Europe. Sorry, look what they've done to it. But the masters of Graf, they were like 16, 17, pulling off end-to-end Wild Style burners on in train yards. So that's like for you to now be like you're a certified, what's it called? Like when you're a master of paint, you know, one of the old like Rembrandts or something like that.
The legacy.
I don't know. I'm just an artist. I identify as just an artist, a fine artist,
really?
Visual artist, a painter. I don't know. I mean, other people want to call it, you know, more legendary.
So fundamentally started and brought it over here. Look at this photo here. Like,
yeah,
you look like you're
with
even
your,
good
with
in
your
the
beret.
Yard. Like, you're wearing nice things and stuff. It's brilliant.
With my little beret and my beautiful sweater that I trashed in the train yard. My God, sometimes
course,
I just wasn't dressed for it and I wind up in the train yard. That was my partner, Demo, and he was very, very crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely insane. And and we did quite a bit of work together. So, you know, as in painting partner, not as in like, you know, romantic partner.
You remember where that is, though, that where you guys are? The tunnel, no?
I think quite possibly like Grant, which is in a deep, deep tunnel on the A line. You have to come down a long ladder that feels like it's 10 stories almost.
Oh my
all
God.
The way to the depths. It's some insane places.
Can you remember it though? Can you remember all of those like atmospheric underground kind of things?
Yes, because of the trauma, you know, and the fear and the high emotions involved with a lot of that.
Exactly.
So these kind of memories stick with you as impressions and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, I do have that. Remember,
and you really bond with the other people, don't you? You bond with people where you go through that sort of thing with.
Yes.
They're scheming you,
I didn't bomb with scheme. This is just that they're escorting us into the train yard. See, and this is the first time he's seeing me actually spray paint anything.
Okay. You can see he's got a judgmental look on his face.
Exactly.
He's like eyebrows raised. He's like, yo, what's he going to do now?
He's like, oh, okay. She's actually doing it. She's doing it. And the other guy there, Agent, in the background.
Oh, yeah, there
so
he
Agent
is.
Agent went on to have a career of in and out of mental hospitals. So both these guys were a little sketchy now. I thought that they were going to rob Martha Cooper of all her camera equipment.
Oh, damn.
That was my suspicion. Mm-hmm. So we excused ourselves to go to the bathroom on the other side of the yard or something, and we never came back.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, that's a lowercase n that you're painting there by the looks of it.
So I think Scheme heard about this, what I had said. It's in the book, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's not unheard of. I had to do something like that with these guys, once before. And because they robbed people. This is what they did. They regularly robbed people. I fully believe they were going to rob Martha Cooper. But the photo survived. We escaped.
How brave and amazing is Martha Cooper? Just like, you know, I just want to put that out there as well. Like, I've never met the lady, but she's like, just the stuff she captured and the places she went and just her enthusiasm behind it, not coming from graph or not aspiring to do graffiti even, but just to document it. Thank God there are people like her out there to do you know?
Oh, yeah. Incredible. So, you know, she worked for National Geographic. In her early careers, traveling the world, taking photos of amazing natural things. I think she circumvented the globe on her motorcycle when she was a young woman and such. So she's in her early 80s now and still going strong.
Yeah.
She came out and photographed the cat wall that we did just a few last year and stuff. Yeah. I was 18 in this photo and Martha Cooper was 39. And I was thinking, damn, I'm sneaking this old woman into a train yard.
She was only 39.
Not too long ago, there was a huge show down in Birmingham, just up north from London, with some of her and Henry's photographs all over in Birmingham. Sorry. So still going strong, still relevant. It's amazing, man. I love that. And this was taken by a famous photographer, right? Or am I mistaken?
Lisa Kahane, who also documented a lot of our work. So Lisa Kahane were there on a little on the island that is there in Times Square. It's we're posing. I'm doing my thing, and suddenly, hundreds of young black men come out from every direction, and they surround us. They were coming out of a Diana Ross concert.
Oh wow!
And they surrounded us. Like a fence 2 meters tall, and we're here with the cameras, and we're surrounded. Suddenly, a hand reaches out and snatches that necklace off me.
No.
It said Lady Pink on it, so they snatched that necklace. And it occurred to me, oh my God, they're going to rob me. They're going to rob the photographer who's covered in camera equipment.
Yeah.
Little woman about my height, you know?
Yeah.
And so I grabbed her real quick when I pushed through the crowd, those guys, and we jumped into a taxi real quick and locked the door and told the man, go, go, go. And we escaped again with the photos. And that night, I think like four people got stabbed and robbed. And there was a wolf packs running through Times Square, robbing people, grabbing people, taking purses, because the police could only grab so many people.
Yeah.
So you know, hundreds are running and robbing everyone.
Just overwhelming.
And we were almost victims. Yeah. So this photo survived.
But you got the pink belt as well. The letter belt.
Oh, yeah. I still have that.
Have you got it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the t-shirt. I still have the t-shirt.
And just a quick note on the t-shirt, like, you know, because I've spoken to quite a few graffiti writers and not all of them, because I think graffiti in and of itself is political, Yeah. And just the act of doing it is political. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whether you're writing something political or not is by the by. And some graffiti artists obviously lean into the whole political aspect of stuff. I know you have as well. And not to get into details or specifics, but do you think you can detach graffiti from politics or no? Or how do you feel about that whole thing?
Well, the act of doing graffiti and being a rebel is a political activism. Mm-hmm. It is anarchist. You are defying authority. You are breaking the law. So it is a political act just by doing vandalism and illegal graffiti, no matter what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If it's vandalism and you're painting flowers, it is still vandalism.
Yeah.
You know, or if you're putting up a tag, it is still vandalism. The mere act of doing graffiti is political. So, but historically, our movement is about just promoting our names.
Yeah.
You know, only a few grow up into putting their opinions out there, you know, for a just cause or for whatever belief that they have. So, you know, there's not that many activists per se. Some are just doing it to get up and to gratify themselves and their own ego. And they don't see the world any further than just themselves and hyping up that logo so that everyone knows their name and they become famous for that. Yeah. You know, standing up for a cause means committing yourself to something that might not be all that popular with some, you know, and such. But if you feel that strongly, the same way with artists, some people will only do decorative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have this platform, why aren't you using your voice to scream bloody murder about some injustice, things that are going wrong and that could be fixed? And all we can do is bring attention to a cause and champion it. Exactly. You know, but then some people are like, nope, I feel you and I agree with you, but I'm only going to paint something decorative.
Yeah.
That's as far as they will commit.
If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything type of thing. You know what I mean?
Perhaps.
And I think, like, ultimately, if you whittle down graffiti right down to its most basic form, it's basically just saying, I was here.
I exist.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I exist and fuck you at the same time.
And fuck you at the same time as well, man. Sorry, I'm going through. Oh, this was after your show outside.
This is someone street bombing. This is somebody street bombing. This is brilliant.
I remember outside your show, there was all the real graffiti writers were there as well. And we got a bit carried away around the outside and shit. And you even got up a bit.
I did. I admit, I do a little bit of tagging when I'm outside my own country.
Yeah,
good for you.
Outside my own show in New York City, I wouldn't have done this. I'd have beat your ass for doing it.
Oh, right. Okay. Now, fair enough.
Because I remember what happens in a lot of these places where we have gallery shows, graffiti writers, we show up and then we tear up the blocks all around.
Yeah.
The neighbors hate us and then they get the place shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kind of the age-old story. Some places will go out the next day with paint and start painting over their neighbors, you know, walls and doors. And I'm sorry, my guests get out of hand, give them a little liquor and they're tagging everywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're cleaning up. We keep our neighborhood clean. And so that way they will love us and stuff. But, you know, we can't police each other. There's no way we can, you know, go out and actually literally beat your ass. But I wouldn't have let this happen outside my gallery in New York City. I think the cops are really more aggressive there. And they hang around like vultures with whatever opening or show that we have and wait for anybody to forget themselves and put up a sticker on a lamppost. And then you're like, look at my sticker. And then you're like, oh, my God, I have handcuffs on me. What happened?
Yeah. But it's also at the same time for your show to be like certified and bona fide. You obviously all like the people interested in art and stuff like that came in that whole side of the culture. But could you see that you attracted like the real heads were there as well? Everyone was there.
Yeah. I could definitely see them looking.
You
a
could
little
see that.
A-E and self-important. So, you know, I could see that.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant turnout. Really,
tell an old school writer no matter what, because I can't even remember the guys in New York City, you know, But I can tell by just looking at them. Oh, that's important.
Exactly.
You can tell. You can tell. What about this one you said with your friend Demo, the crazy Demo?
Yeah, my partner Demo there. Yeah. And I see I got Kane One tag right in that blue area
There it is.
Yeah, so I think this was a Valentine's Day car that we did. Uh-huh. But it was for his girlfriend, Joanne.
Yeah.
No. It says Joanne in the main heart.
Yeah, yeah.
In the,
had girlfriends. Oh, he had loads and loads of girls. He was an Irish guy. I mean, fully Irish. But he talked and behaved like a black dude.
Really?
All right.
And the kind of dude that was always in situation is like, why is that white guy here? Damn, he must be crazy. He must be crazy hanging around
in this spot.
Jamaica, Queens, and the heart of black people. All his friends, everyone was black. He talked and behaved like a black dude, but he was a blue-eyed Irishman.
Wow. Yeah. Do you like for wars like this, for example? Okay, you knew it was Valentine's Day. Did you guys like pre-plan things? Do you do sketches and work it out before you turn up, or are you there and just freestyling, or is it a mix of both?
So I feel that I had that outline already, you know, drawn out. I always had my outlines drawn out, but we didn't bring them with us.
No, yeah. Yeah.
So no, Demo is more of a bomber. And not much for style. So, you know, he pulled out a nice straight letter here.
Yeah, it's nice. Tiny bit of style,
but he wasn't he wasn't much of an artist. He was a bomber. He was totally
what
a bomber.
What year do you think this is?
I don't know.
I think 83.
83.
I was 2 years old, man. Yeah.
At most 84.
I like this.
Yeah.
That's what
the highlights going on.
Who were you?
I love this one. This one.
This one's a classic one, man.
Yeah, this was all Rust-Oleum paint, and we were on a platform. Probably.
Oh, so you could read. That's how you did the top to bottom because you were on the platform.
Yes, because you were at least on a little bit of a platform. Yes. Otherwise, it's very hard to reach the top. I have to be on tippy toes to get to the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to read what this message.
Again for Joanna.
Yeah,
that's
Joanna.
For Demo's girlfriend. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
At all. There we go. And right. Mom as well. You've picked up your mom on a couple of pieces I've seen. You always give them the shout out to the Marduks.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I'd always try to paint trains that were nowhere near my house. But sometimes they just change the little letter in the front and they send it somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
And then my mom would see my work. And one time she did see us like, oh, you put my name, huh? It's like, oh no.
Oh, really?
She saw it. Yeah.
But she was cool. Where is your, are you first generation American? Are you Latina, no?
Yeah. I came to the U.S.
But you were born
seven.
Here. Oh, you were born. No, okay. Okay.
No, we came as illegal immigrants. You know, through like on a tourist visa through the airport, you know, like normal.
Yeah.
But we just never left as tourists. So,
but then
when I was 12, my mom married a Cuban fella and he had citizenship. When people fled Castro in the 50s and they came to this country, they gave them instant citizenship.
Okay.
Really?
So my Cuban stepdad was a citizen and then gave us, you know, our green cards and papers and stuff. Otherwise, we were illegal immigrants.
Wow.
Myself, my mom, and my sister.
And they're originally from Ecuador, your mom, no?
Yeah, we're from Ecuador. My stepdad was from Cuba.
Nice.
And I don't want to make a big deal, but like if Trump was in power back then, we wouldn't have no Lady Pink. You know what I mean? Like all this like demonizing of immigrants and all this stuff that's happening around the world. It's happening here as well. It's like fuckeries, man. But this one here with Carl, the famous Carl, and Lady Pink. Do you remember this one at all? The mission behind this, or
vaguely? Carl is Mayor 139.
Mayor, salute.
That's Kel's little brother. So my sister. So I went to high school with Carlos. He was like my little brother.
Shout out, Carlos.
He would hang out around my house a lot, and my mom would feed him a lot. So he became like a little brother. I don't think his family life was too comfortable, so he hung around my house a lot.
Okay.
My sister was dating Kel.
Okay.
So then I was thrown together with him a lot more often too. And then I abused him a lot too. I abused Carlos. And I mean, he was my sidekick.
Yeah.
Was my sidekick because I used to kick him in the side.
Yeah.
I was terrible for him, terrible to this boy.
Oh my goodness.
Really?
It builds character, though. It builds character because he's now an incredible artist doing sculptures, and the B-boy sculptures that he does are really fucking cool, man. I would love to get him on the podcast theme. Maybe Lady Pink can put in a good word for us, man.
Okay.
All right. Nice.
I like the cracks he's got going on in the R and the L, you know.
Yeah, just
I love window
letters.
Downs like that, man. I love window downs.
The 3D
like
on the pink is super dope.
Yeah, and the bubbles, man, in the green.
Yeah,
like, come on. You must be so proud. I hope if I ever go to your house, there's just all of these panels, all of these trains just framed as you like go up the stairs. You're like, these are all my trains, bitches. That's how you guys should be rolling.
No. Nah, yes. You see, most people don't want to flaunt that stuff, man. They did it.
I would.
They got the T-shirt. They're on to bigger and better things. I know Lady Pink is doing her thing, man, which we're going to get into. But I really want to get into one of our listener questions, if that's all right.
Okay.
Let's go with the first one.
I haven't heard these.
Yeah, let's go.
New York culture has played a big part in the UK. Do you think there's any cultures or styles that New York has adopted from the UK scene?
Okay, so that's like obviously New York affected everyone around the globe, but were there any sort of UK? I was thinking maybe through punk or through something like that, but
punk,
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Punk, I totally admire and have respect for the rebelliousness and the spirit and the defying authority and convention and tradition. So, you know, some graph writers identify as punk. You can't throw that hip hop shit at them or any of that pop, that bubblegum pop or any of that nonsense. They are punk, hardcore tattoos, bitches who are earn the utmost respect from me. You know, so there's the punk rock movement that we have adopted here and has played a strong, you know, sister kind of a movement that came up, you know, goth, punk, all of that stuff. I admire that. It broke the mold of girls being little sissy, you know, dainty Barbie dolls and all of that. I love it. You know,
incredible, man. Incredible.
My mom was a punk for quite a long time. And I remember her telling me, I stopped kind of going to the gigs when I started going to the gigs and they started spitting in the air and then catching it in their mouths and then like spitting into the crowd.
Oh my
and
days.
Some of the crowd are like that, trying to catch the spit. And my mom was like, no, fuck this. Like, I can't be rolling with this anymore.
All right. Welcome to COVID. No, so we stopped. Our movement wasn't cool anymore when guys started packing guns and started shooting each other for real.
It wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
And also the hip hop movement owes a lot to punk. Like all the punk clubs in New York, they were the first clubs that played hip hop music and invited those young kids from the projects to scratch their records. They were like, yo, it was the punk clubs that allowed that, you know. But let's get into our second question.
Yo, big up Arms House every time, man. Big up Theme. Back to them. Who's the best bombing crew of all time? Bombing crew, not like everything crew, like, do you know what I mean? Like Wild Styles, but bombing crew, just bombing crew worldwide. Who's the best bombing
worldwide?
Crew?
Worldwide.
Damn.
All right. So
I'm afraid I am more in touch with the fine artists, the galleries, and the legitimate stuff. And my husband, Smith, is the historian and archivist in the family.
And if you talk about bombing.
He keeps tabs of all things that are going down, that went down. He knows these crews. He knows what's going on. He would be more helpful to me right now. He gives me information when I need to know stuff.
Yeah.
Or remember old friends or old enemies and tell me, stop kissing that guy. That's your enemy. Oh, my God.
I love that.
You know, things
that.
Like the best crews of all time. I can probably, you know, recall like just New York people. I am not fully aware of the craziness that's going around the world. You know, I hear of.
Who do you think the best crew in New York is in New York?
Apart from TC5.
Of course, I have to be, you know, TC5, which is my crew, been around since the early 70s, I believe. And if you ask me to name all five of the originators, I probably couldn't. But nevertheless, TC5 is one. But as in bombing, huh? You know, I can't. TDS, the Rebels.
TDS.
No, my husband would have to help me to answer that question.
But the
question.
Thing is, I know your husband as well. I had a quick conversation with him at your show. Really sweet, beautiful, you know, nice guy, but he will never go on a podcast. I gathered that from him. Yeah.
No, he won't do interviews. He won't do He won't do any recordings or anything like that. At most is you can record his shadow. Or maybe his hands.
Yeah, that's a real writer there. Yeah,
That's kind of the essence of writing is that you're not supposed to. It's not about the artist. It's about the art itself, right?
Yes, and because the police have been terrible to us, and, they've raided us 2 times in 10 years. Wow. Took all our stuff, everything. Charges for my husband. That's 2 times in 10 years. This is the reason why I live in the country. Yeah. And I had to leave the city because the police have been terrible. But before I met him, back in 1990, he was the only one, him and his late brother, that were enduring $1 million civil lawsuit. Yeah. Not a criminal lawsuit, a civil lawsuit. Him, his brother, and their mother, because they were minors. So this innocent mother who tried her best to raise these boys, you know, in the best way she could, and she did, you know, but they went renegade there for a bit. Yeah. And they were enduring $1 million civil lawsuit when my late brother-in-law, when he took his own life, threw himself off a bridge at the age of 20. They found him floating on the river 3 days later. And then the city dropped that civil lawsuit.
Yeah, that's the worst part,
It's like harassment. I've heard you describe that before, what you guys endured from the NYPD, and it was harassment. It wasn't even they were trying to uphold the law and they were trying to do something good. They really had it out for you guys, and they made your lives hell. This is what I read. I remember hearing you talk about it on a couple of things. Completely unnecessary for graffiti as well. It's like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Let's hear another question.
Yeah, let's go.
Hi, I want to ask feelings on the current NYC subway whole trains being painted. Generally a block letter per car. Would be interested in hearing a NYC OG point of view. Okay, cheers, nice one.
So
that was like the trains that are getting done recently, the blockbuster style top to bottoms New York subways. I think some people, a lot of Germans are going over there and so they're even Dutch doing like writers. Dondi pieces, like copying the piece, letting it roll tributes. Again, and they're doing their own thing as well. And he's sort of saying, what do you think about that? How do you feel about people coming over, getting in the yards?
So in the early 90s, when the European kids started to come over and they'd hook up with New Yorkers and to show them how to get in, where to go, but only in the beginning. And after that, then they were going on their own and then just literally burning all our layups.
Hotting shit up. Yeah, hotting
it. Just making everything hot. And we didn't even know anything about it. And then New Yorkers wander in, la, 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 and the cops are waiting. So, you know, it didn't make any sense for New Yorkers to paint trains or even try anymore. The European kids were coming over in waves in the summers and just tearing shit up. But they don't really survive. You waste all that paint and time and risk, and it goes immediately to the buff. And then the police, they learned not to even pull them out in the daytime or to pull them out over elevated tracks so that they could deprive them of their photos because they know that the European kids are only painting for their photos and such. Yep. But, more power to them. If they want to come over and risk themselves. And I think a couple of kids got run over by train just last year. Yeah, I think it was a couple of French guys. Yeah. You know, I'm sure they were in their 20s, young, bright young men run over by subway trains. It is hugely dangerous. And if they're going to risk themselves for that, it is better that it's done by foreigners because I think that they just get exiled from America for like 10 years and then they get their passport taken until their flight comes up and then they get sent back to their home country. But if they can identify who they are, and this is the risk, then they can get charged back in their home country for that name and everything that's got that name, you know, anywhere around. So, I mean, but European kids have learned to be very careful and not to put their names out when they go to other countries and such, because the police in different countries do communicate with each other. Whatever. If these kids want to paint the New York subways, that's fine. I honestly haven't taken a New York subway in almost 10 years, and I haven't even seen them either. So I don't know, and I don't care.
And you do obviously realize that it's like the Mecca, man, for people all around the world. Because of what you guys did when you're teens, everyone wants to get that photo on a New York subway. Yeah, exactly.
Subway train I painted was in 94 on Christmas Day with my homegirl, Mickey, from the Netherlands. She's the queen of European graffiti. We did a top to bottom whole car, Mickey in pink. We got video. We got photos. They're crap photos from inside the tunnel because that's all we could get. But we do have a document that it'll be in my upcoming book.
Is there no way? Is there no way you could maybe send us one sneaky one? I can put it in the edit. Okay, great. I'll hit you up afterwards about that. That'll be great. We'll get a little
the upcoming book.
Yeah, man.
Exclusive. But that's why, like, we wouldn't, if I went over to paint, and we've got friends who painted NYC and like Chicago and like all like the kind of places where there's a subway. Some of them look harder than others, but like Maddie was saying, if I went over to New York and I painted a subway, I wouldn't really care if it didn't pull out, as long as I got the photo with like the little MTA and the little like American flag next to it, like, yo, that's it. You know, that would be it. Even if it was in a tunnel like that, for me, it would be something magical to have that. Man.
All right, guys, we've hit an hour, so we've got a couple more questions. Oh,
it's so quick, huh?
Yeah, man. Time flies when you're having fun, yo. Let's go. Next question.
I guess my question would be, why did no one punch Cap in the face, or did they?
Why did no one punch Cap in the face?
And you know, I kept saying that constantly to my boys to punch that guy in the face, take a baseball bat to him. They were like, he has a sort of shotgun.
Yeah, he has a shotgun.
No.
Oh, boom, boom, boy. Boom.
That's what So he came by my homeboy scene TC5. He lived in the Bronx.
It was friendly.
Private house on the ground floor. His parents were professors in the university, you know, or something. Lovely people. Yeah. And Cap shot the windows of his house out.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
Street shooting right there, you know, found out where he lived and shot out the windows. His parents inside. Come on. So he had to move out of the city to somewhere else and do a life change. Wow. You know, he also shot Blade in the leg.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know
that.
Blade
in the leg from a car window, I believe. So you can look that up. So in my high school, I curated an exhibit in the gallery of my best homeboys. We put up wonderful paintings, big panels. We had a great exhibit. All the graffiti writers from New York City came down, including Cap and PJ. And they shot my school full of holes. They shot some kid in the back. He didn't die, but this was 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of Manhattan. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I had just left for the day. And on the 6 o'clock news, I see my exhibit. I'm like, oh, there's my show on the news. Oh, no, there's been a shooting. Oh, my God. So the next day I got thrown out of school.
Oh, shit.
And that was it for my high school art career. So it was Cap and PJ that came down. So this is covered in Martha Cooper's hip hop files.
Okay.
And PJ threatened Martha Cooper's life if she put his name in that book, Cap and PJ. So it just says these two fellas came down and shot the school, whatever. She couldn't put their names in there, but I will happily tell everyone this is who came down, Cap and PJ. They had guns. They elevated this game to a different level. It wasn't fun anymore. They came to the middle of Manhattan in the afternoon and they were shooting people. They said, freeze, and everyone scattered, you know? And then they like shot some kid in the back. And so, you know, that's why people didn't punch Cap in the face. He had a gun.
That's why he was shooting people's houses out street level.
But surprisingly, Cap said that he respected girls and he wouldn't hit a girl. So that's why they made me interview him for that movie, Wild Star, Style Wars.
I want a
documentary.
I want to play a quick little, it's only 1 minute long, the outtake of you.
Yes, and he can hear me using my little girl voice so that he wouldn't hurt me.
Exactly. You were like, oh, shit.
And everything way. Pretty is getting dog. Hold Have it. You
like
seen
this.
That?
Well, you're proving right here that at Graffiti Productions, that going over people is not the only way to get fame. So right. You have your side too. But I just do my own thing.
But who's gonna tell these little toy riders here that this is one way to get fame, and the other way they see to get fame is to go over people.
Yeah, but I go over them too.
So what do you plan to do in the future? You're gonna keep just like going over the people that you've been going over, or you're gonna make peace with some people?
Well, I don't know. People start with me, or they start with my crew. I start going over everything they have. That's it. I'm not like people. You go over one of mine, I go over one of yours. You go over one of mine, I go over everything you're gonna do, ever, anywhere I could find it, anywhere. And when I catch you, I just beat the shit out of you. That's it.
We always outran the cops and scale them fences, but we can't outrun each other. We can't play with each other's heads anymore. We'll be the end of our own graffiti.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, yo, and the thing is with graffiti, and I think it's part and parcel of graffiti, obviously not to the extent of guns and shooting up people's houses and stuff. That's obviously too fucking far. And luckily here in Europe, guns aren't as big of an issue as it is in America. But we do have characters here, you know what I mean? The dude that you don't fuck with, you know what I mean? And the bombers that, like, you know, they go over people and shit like that. And that's kind of... It's part and parcel because of the street aspect of graffiti, because graffiti is artistic, it's creative. There's so many lanes to it, but there is definitely that street aspect to it. It can't be avoided, you know? And so those characters, let's say, that you might run into to kind of regulate to a certain degree, yeah? Like, I think they play a role in the graph thing. If everything was all nice and daisies and everyone's cool, then everyone with every Joe Schmo would have a spray can drawing pictures. You know, these kind of things is what keeps people on their toes, as it were. I'm not saying to the extent of Cap, obviously, shooting people, that's crossing a line now. That's life and death, which I don't think it should ever come to, especially when it comes to art. But I just want to see what you think about just, you know, because it is boisterous and it is lawless. So we had to police our own shit. You know what I mean? It's not like if someone went over you, you could call the police and go, oh, this guy went over. You know, you can't do that. So
it was important to be down with the right crew. And, you know, I'm still down with TC5. It's a different president. You know, different cats are running the thing, but they got my back. And it's a bunch of really big black dudes. And I like that. I like that a lot.
No one's fucking with you. Yeah.
So I feel protected. I feel that my work is protected as well. I mean, and historically, you do inherit their beef. If they have enemies, they are now your enemies. But otherwise, I'm stronger than just myself and just my husband, you know. Yeah. He never belonged to such really big, important crews like I did. Maybe the rebels at some point. But, you know, it's good to belong to a good, respectable crew like that. So a few people will mess with you, you know.
Exactly. And you earned your way into those crews. It's not like they just let any willy-nilly anybody into these crews. You earned your way into
them. It's by invitation. It's like a guild. You got to work your way up hierarchy. You can't fake that. Other people will know when you're true blue and you have heart and you've put in some good work and you deserve to be down. And then you're invited to be down. And then the prestige level and the doors that open and all of that is important, you know, but you can also be kicked out if you fuck up. So.
If you fuck up, exactly. And actually, the next question, let's just get into the last question. Let's go.
It's Pixie here from the Girls on Top crew. So my question for you is, as someone who's been in the game for so long, what value do you think graffiti has created in society, and what motivates you to keep getting up?
I keep getting up because I suppose it's just habit. But the value that we have shown to society is that rebels are important. To be rebellious is important. To be sheep that just follows the herd and do what you're told is not a game plan. You know, everything becomes stagnant, old, stale, and ceases to grow. Now, why is graffiti around? It has become street art, the world's biggest art movement. It has brought art out into the public. It has removed fine art from being just a commodity. And that's what art has become, a commodity like the stock market, you know, like the best artists, their work is absolute crap. It's just the value of the work is important. then it goes up. It goes up like the stock market. Rich people buy this crap and put it in storage. They won't even hang it in their houses because it's horrible.
Because it looks so shit.
Well, it looks like crap.
It's become
but it's all about money. And is that what fine art has become?
Yeah.
So we are the backlash.
Yeah, we are the backlash to that. And art, the art industry now has become a way of rich people to avoid paying taxes as well. They spend a couple of million on a Picasso, stick it in a thing, and then they know it's never going to depreciate. It's better than putting it in a bank. You don't have to claim it. You don't have to put tax on it and stuff like that.
There's always some loopholes.
Yeah, exactly. That's incredible.
But that is the value brought to it.
And also the accessibility of graph. Yeah. We've had a couple of guests on before saying all you need is a rock to scratch on a fucking window. Yeah. That's all you need to do graph. Anyone can pick it up. It was invented by kids at the end of the day. So it's not like it's some, like if you're looking at like an in-depth, like portrait, realistic painting, like, you know, those are like hard to reach, you know, if you're especially as a young person who's creative trying to ascertain that. But graffiti is very, it's easier to learn and get into. Obviously, there are hurdles still you have to jump through, but I think that's the beauty of art as well, that anyone could pick it up and do it, you know?
No, not anyone. You'd be surprised. Okay. I get a lot of these indoorsy artists, and amazing though they might be, they don't have the courage to put their stuff out in public.
That's true.
They are used to and happily just giving their work to the polite society, and, you know, and they'll tell you, "Oh, it's just lovely," even though they don't mean it.
So nice.
People out in the street have no filters. They will throw something at you if they hate it.
Oh yeah.
You know, they will tell you this is horrible. Some old lady will come over and, "What is that? This is nonsense." You know, we'll tell you critique right there in the street. They have no filters.
Yeah.
So it takes a special kind of courage to be out in the street. Mm-hmm. You know,
and if you make a mistake, it's forever, right? It looks bad.
That's the daytime stuff, you know. To be anonymous and do it at night takes a different courage, like, you know, sneaking out at night and being a rebel and all of those things, like a criminal, sneaking like a ninja. You know, whatever. Those are different.
That's the value to me.
Yeah,
I get in the daytime. That is a way too scary for some real artists, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. I mean,
going outside, and that's the value of graffiti for me. When you get your life back, you realize you're alive. You realize you read a sign that says don't cross this fence, and you cross the fence and nothing happens. And then you carry on walking and you're in the middle of like a really metropolitan place and there's nobody there, and it's quiet and it's silent and it's atmospheric and it smells different. And I always stop and I think, shit, look where I am. This is amazing. I got to remember this time. That's the value for me, like giving me my life back, getting me out of my 9-to-5, and the stress of having kids and yada 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 yada. And then that's it. That's why I still do it. I come back feeling the same as when I was going when I was 16. You know what I mean? Yeah. But now I'm better than I was when I was 16. So it's even better for me now. You know what I mean? I just like, no sé qué, no sé cuándo, pero I love it. Love it, love it.
I think graffiti street art has also become a recreational activity. You know, with the legal walls I had in the city, we'd get together and we'd paint for a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw up big walls with our friends and have some good times and some laughs and all of that. You know, some people go to picnics, they go to the beach or whatever, but we get together with our friends in hot, sweaty street painting up walls in some neighborhood for no reason at all, then just for, you know, just chilling with each other the same way we kind of did when we did subway trains. Have a few laughs with some friends, man. That's
no
it.
No doubt.
Do you remember doing this?
All right. The tag on your map.
Yeah, I think so.
This is at your show. Then you came, everyone's gotten in a nice black pen, and you came with the gold paint pen. Right. You said, I don't give a shit, son.
All right, guys. So we've gone well over an hour. I just want to ask.
Graph critique.
We'll do a couple of graph critiques. And then if Lady Pink doesn't have a hard out, if she doesn't have to run away quickly, I was hoping maybe we can get an extra 10 minutes or so for our Patreon, man, after this. So we'll do a couple graph critiques now, just one or two. And then we'll listen to a song and then go over to the Patreon. All right. Let's go. All right. Let's think which one from these.
Is that cool with you though? Yeah, sis. Is that cool?
All right.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. Amazing.
All right, let's go. Let's start with this one. This was sent in by somebody. I have no idea who sent it or what it says.
You kind of need to move it.
Yeah,
I'm in there. Yeah,
getting this corner here. Sorry, my computer's being a bit weird. I'm going to zoom into it here. There we go. Okay. All right, this one.
This isn't too bad.
It's not too bad. It's 2025.
Let's see Pism what it says. Schism or
Schism.
I think that's a P, but it could be a D. Or I mean, it looks like an S there. Oh. I can see there an S, but
it might be a D.
So I
think that it is helpful as style evolved and became wilder and wilder, and then we left out the general audiences. We didn't care if they could read it, and it was just all kinds of inside. Well, you know, you have to be schooled to read it. It's important to tag your name in the corner and give people a little bit of a clue.
But give them a chance.
This person definitely understands, you know, graffiti style. I'm a little concerned that the first and second letter are a little small in proportion to the whole rest of the piece. You see those could have stood to be a little bit bigger
in all,
and perhaps be a little clearer what that first letter is. Is it an S? Is it a D?
Mm-hmm. Or a P even, but...
You're absolutely right. The first letter is way
too small. Could be a P. Okay, I see it now. It's a little bit obscure. The color scheme is real nice. It's got a black outline, got some straight lines. He understands that it could use a halo. That is fine. Yeah. The little lines of the 3D are all very well consistent. Mm. So, you know, the style is happening. It could be polished up just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then the first two letters could be a little bit bigger. But it's definitely on the road to being, good graffiti style.
No doubt.
All right.
Theme, anything sticks out to you, man?
I would just say it looks a bit, overall, it's kind of messy. If it was just a little bit neater. But I don't know, it looks like it's painted on, bamboo stalks.
I was going to point that out,
it's not flat.
It looks like bamboo sticks or something. I don't know where the fuck.
Yeah, man.
Rooftop of a thatched roof.
Even a thatched roof type thing.
Exactly, like some old farmer's thatch roof or something.
It looks like it was done illegally. So obviously we allow for, you know, little things. I'm not going to nitpick, like, for example, the negative space here, he should have filled in red, you know what I mean? Like he did here, but he missed out some of the bits there. So maybe he was in a rush. I completely agree that the letters start off too small and then here at the end, they're too big. The E is my favorite letter. I think it's dynamic, looks really cool. But if you look at that D and then look at that E, and the shape of it and the way it's flowing, and then compare it to whatever letter this is, whether it's a P or a D or an S, it's like two different style letters in the same piece. There's some obviously, as a whole, looking at it as a whole, it fits and it looks all right. It's not jarring to my eye. But when you really inspect the letter styles, you've kind of not had a continuation of the letter styles. And this arrow here, just jutting out of the top of the M here, I like arrows to have some sort of more dynamic movement to it, I think, you know, to kind of accentuate the thing. But again, this is me nitpicking. It's cool overall. Let's go one more. There's a legend here. The legend of the podcast is King Tapas.
Not a legend. Yeah.
He's not. He's from up north or something, and he sent in a lot of graph for us to critique. Lady Pink, what are your first thoughts on this dub?
Yeah. Oh,
it says tapas.
Tapas.
T-A-P-A-S.
And I like tapas.
Oh yeah.
Yo también.
Right. But the bubbly letters are inconsistent with traditional graph. Mm. You know, they are bubble letters of some sort, but they're not to graph. You know, the fact that they are overlapping correctly, you know, one letter is behind the other letter, that he understands. There's a halo going around. There's a drop shadow. Sure. But the bubbles are kind of wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Too small.
Yeah.
The bubbles on these letter A's, again, are also too small. They could stand to be more elongated so that they're touching the top of the A for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And then the S just got a little bit lost there.
It does,
It could stand to have a little more negative spaces inside the S parts. It just gets a little lost there. So it's a little bit clumsy, a little bit sloppy. you know, and some of those lines are way too straight from the A and the P. This, you know, they have no curves. They're just like dead straight. They need to have a little bit of a flow, of a natural curve, you know.
If someone served you tapas.
Most letters follow a human kind of a movement.
Yeah.
Exactly. The biometric.
And then to do straight, you have to really force yourself.
So you call this line that goes around the outside, you just called it a halo.
Halo.
Yes.
Okay, because we have, every guest we have on has a different name for this line. Some people call it a one time. Some people call it a force field. Some people call it
border.
A border. Yeah, a one time border. And you call it a halo. So it's like a glowing, like those pictures of Jesus with the line around. Is that where it came from? Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's crisp. Sometimes it's fuzzy, like glowing.
Yeah, glowing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can't believe Tapas has just had one of his things critiqued by Lady Pink. That's like King, the highlight of his career.
King Tapas, man.
The greatest salute thing King. Of all time for him, man.
Everyone salute King Tapas, man. Lady Pink, we're going to close the main episode right now and we're going to go over to our Patreon, okay? Party people listening, all the listeners out there, thank you. Keep sending in your graph or critique. Send in listener questions. Who knows who we'll have on in the future, you know what I mean? We got legends in the place, man. Come on now, party people. I was going to say we should usually go out on a song. Shall we leave it up to Lady... or do you have one theme maybe we can listen to? Or
Metallica One was a real
incredible,
real. I used to play that. I used to know how to play that. It's amazing. Oh, yeah? How Metallica.
Another song was The Call of Cthulhu. That was on my second choice for that.
Okay.
I start work with that nice banging loud music, and I'm painting with both hands really quick. So, but I'm also a huge fan of Blackpink.
Oh, what's
Blackpink?
What's Blackpink? K-pop? Okay, cool. Well, what's the call of Cthulhu? Blackpink. What's the call of Cthulhu? Who's that by?
Also Metallica.
Oh, Metallica. Okay, now let's go to Blackpink, man. I like the sound of that, man.
Kumbaya.
I have to admit, I'm not into my K-pop. Yeah, K-pop. I'm not into my K-pop, to be honest. Yeah, if I'm really honest. But let's get into it. Why not?
You like that?
Let's go.
Wait. 1.8 billion views.
Oh, mate, K-pop.
Yeah, man.
Do you not understand how popular K-pop is now? It's incredible. Everyone loves it.
And we're going over to the Patreon. So if you're a member of that, lucky you.
Yeah, join us. The links are below. You can support the pod. All right.
Blackpink in your area.
I'm going to run down and grab a beer.
Is it in English?
Peace.